Translation. Because of an increase of affection, the cows had constant attachment, even to those calves that were grown up and had stopped sucking milk from their mothers. When Baladev saw this attachment, he was unable to understand the reason for it, and thus he began to consider as follows. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The cows had younger calves who had started sucking milk from their mothers, and some of the cows had newly given birth. But now, because of love, the cows enthusiastically showed their affection for the older calves, which had left off milking. These calves were grown up, but still the mothers wanted to feed them. Therefore, Balaram was a little surprised, and he wanted to inquire from Krishna about the reason for their behavior. The mothers were actually more anxious to feed the older calves, although the new calves were present, because the older calves were expansions of Krishna. These surprising events were taking place by the manipulation of yoga maya. There are two mayas working under the direction of Krishna: Mahamaya, the energy of the material world, and Yogamaya, the energy of the spiritual world. These uncommon events were taking place because of the influence of Yogamaya. From the very day on which Brahma stole the calves and boys, Yogamaya acted in such a way that the residents of Vrindavan, including even Lord Balaram, could not understand how Yogamaya was working and causing such uncommon things to happen. But as Yogamaya gradually acted, Balaram in particular was able to understand what was happening, and therefore he inquired from Krishna. So the verse again. Vrajasya Rama Prema Der Vikshyot Kantya Manukshanam Muktastanesh Vapachyesh Vapi Ahetuvid Achintayat. Actually, in the third line, that Api and then the A of Ahetu. Shri, Shri, Radha, Gokulananda, Shri, Shri, Sitaram, Lakshman, Hanuman, Ki, Jai. The E, the last letter of the third line, and the first letter of the last line, A, they're actually Ya, according to the actual Sanskrit. Anyway, that's why it's sort of slightly unusual rhythm there. In the third line, because of an increase of affection, the cows had constant attachment, even to those calves that were grown up and had stopped sucking milk from their mothers. When Baladev saw this attachment, he was unable to understand the reason for it, and thus he began to consider as follows. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Bhaschachyade Shatarne Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivas Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. Vanchikalpatrubhyas jai kripa sindhu bhyevacha. Paditanam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. So, of course, as I'm sure you're well aware, this is the last chapter of the Bhagavatam that Srila Prabhupada translated and commented on. And there's a video or it's included in, I can't remember the name of it, but one of the fairly lengthy kind of biographical types of videos of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada lying in his bed in Vrindavan, physically, severely incapacitated, and reciting part of the purport of one of these verses, and I actually forget which one it is offhand, but you can see, if you manage to see that, you can just see how incapacitated physically Srila Prabhupada was, but he was continuing with his service, like completely undaunted. Anyway, this is a very wonderful part of Srimad Bhagavatam. And here, the father, the adult men and the cows were on top of Govardhan Hill. Krishna and the cowherd boys and Lord Balaram and the calves were at the bottom of the hill, and the cows on the top saw the calves, their children, down the bottom, and became just so inspired. The word, or a word used here, is utkantyam, which is translated here as attachment. It can also, it means not just attachment, but attachment in a mood of real inspiration and enthusiasm, and like one is being driven by that attachment, in this case to the calves who were their children down the bottom of the hill. So the cows, big, heavy cows, accustomed every day to eating lots of very rich green grass, which the farmers, those who are dairy farmers, sometimes they call green gold, because when the cows eat that grass, they produce so much amazing milk. And of course, the cows become very big and hefty. So these cows up on top of the hill, they saw their children down the bottom, and became, there was so much utkantyam, so much inspiration from attachment, they went running down the hill. And I imagine you've already, have you read? Anyway, they ran down, they galloped down. And probably you're familiar, many of you would be familiar with Govardhan Hill. This is happening at Govardhan Hill. In those days, Govardhan Hill was bigger. It was much bigger. But those cows from the top, even if it was just Govardhan Hill today, they literally galloped down, not trotting. You know the difference. Trotting means one foot, then the next, then the one foot, then the next. They galloped both feet at the same time. It means full steam ahead. These big, really big, heavy Matajis came just sort of screaming down the hill. And that's not an easy hill to go running down. We hope it was the, western side and not the eastern side, because the eastern side is almost vertical. but the western side is more gradual slope. But still, to gallop down there, whew, my gosh, you'd have to be very careful. So many rocks and boulders, and it's very uneven. But that was the Autkantium. That was the attachment, the inspiration, because of their attachment. And of course, Srila Prabhupada emphasizes here, and the verse is also mentioning, that they were particularly attracted, not just to the calves in general or their own calves in general. And there was, you know, a couple of calves of each cow there. One of the calves was older, maybe even two of them were older. And there was one little young one. The little young one was regularly sucking milk from the udders of the mother cow. And the older one was more or less, at least semi-mature, had stopped that and was just feeding on the grass. But now these mother cows, they were particularly inspired to offer their milk to the older calves who had otherwise stopped drinking their milk for some time. So that's very amazing. And not so much attracted and inspired to offer their milk to the very young little calves, like the fairly recently born calves. And of course, as Prabhupada explains here in the purport, that was because the older ones were expansions of Krishna. The original calves from that sort of generation, you could say, having been stolen by Lord Brahma. And then Krishna expanded into the forms of all of them. And the mother cows then found that they were more attracted to and attached to that generation of their calves more than the very recent generation who were not expansions of Krishna. Yes, so that's all part of this pastime here. I'm sure you've been following it every day. You know the story. Krishna was out there with them. It was Balaram's appearance day. The initial pastime of the stealing takes place on Balaram's appearance day. Balaram was not present. Therefore, he is not aware, even at this point, that actually they were expansions. But initially, first of all, the calves were stolen. And Krishna, out of his affection for his cowherd boyfriends, they were in the middle of lunch. Krishna told them, "You just continue with lunch. I'll go and find the cows and the calves and bring them back." Off he went, couldn't find them, came back. And then now the cowherd boys were gone also. And you can imagine it would have been rather awkward if Krishna had gone back alone that evening and everyone asked him, "Where are our sons? Where are our calves?" And it was just like, well, I don't know. It would have been extremely difficult. So therefore, Krishna expanded himself. And even, as Prabhupada explains here, even Balaram was not aware. And this is now plus or minus a year later. It is actually a year later that... it's around plus or minus a year later that this is occurring. As I'm sure you're aware, I think it's Brahma Vaivarta Purana describes how the cows, now that their calves were actually expansions of Krishna, the cows became more attached to their calves than they were before. And because the cowherd boys were expansions of Krishna, and the parental devotees there in Vrindavan were more attached to Krishna than their own children. But now their own children were actually expansions of Krishna. They found they were becoming as attached to their sons as they were to Krishna. And the gopis had always been thinking that we are going to have to marry these cowherd boys. Srimati Radharani will marry Krishna. That's sort of, you know, a given. And we're going to end up with these other boys, ho-hum, how not very interesting when Krishna is there. But now the cowherd boys were forms of Krishna. And even the gopis found they were becoming attracted to the cowherd boys, just like they were attracted to Krishna. And they started thinking that, well, actually, we wouldn't mind marrying the cowherd boys. Yes, it would be nice. Of course, when everything came to a conclusion, and as far as we know, when the original calves and cowherd boys returned, then the expanded forms sort of demanifested or departed in some way or another. And now, then again, it was the usual calves and the usual cowherd boys. So we don't know what happened, particularly now that a lot of these gopis were married to different of the cowherd boys. Anyway, whatever. So this is very amazing. And as Prabhupada explains here, this is all going on. Under the control of Yoga Maya, there's Mahamaya and Yoga Maya. In both cases, Maya means illusion, that which is not. But in one case, it is Mahamaya, it is just the great illusion. Everything is illusion. Nothing is as it seems. Nothing is as it seems. And particularly, we are not as we seem to be. People, living beings, are not what they appear to be. We are all not our bodies. We are all eternal spiritual persons. And we may have male body now. In our actual, who we really are as eternal spiritual persons, we are probably someone very different from who we appear to be at present from the material point of view. Who knows? Someone is a gopi, no doubt. Someone is a cowherd boy. Someone is older, someone is younger. Someone may be a cow, or who knows? These things we don't know. One devotee approached Srila Prabhupada once, trying to express some type of humility, and said, "Srila Prabhupada, when I go back to Godhead, I will probably just be a blade of grass, just nothing, just hopelessly insignificant." And Srila Prabhupada responded, "You would be so fortunate to be a blade of grass in Goloka Vrindavan. It's far higher than being temple president of Bhaktivedanta Manor." And It's far higher than being a GBC. You just cannot make any comparison at all. So here we're under Mahamaya, the great illusion, where nothing really is what it appears to be. But of course, everyone is thinking that everything is what it appears to be, and therefore everyone is just almost inextricably entangled in illusion and in this material world. And it's a very pathetic situation and almost hopeless situation. It's very, very terrible. We were reading just a couple of days ago in the Bhagavatam class in South Africa. It was, anyway, on Monday. And it was, I forget exactly where it was, but somewhere in the Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada was making the point that in this material world, of course, everyone is a spirit soul. Everyone is a spirit soul. But everyone is under the control of Mahamaya. And the way Srila Prabhupada put it was very interesting. Srila Prabhupada said, everyone is under the attack of Maya. Attack. Not just under the influence of, or somehow or other affected by and confused as a result, but under attack. And we know what it means to be under attack. It means something very aggressive, very powerful, and something which is really trying to devastate us. So actually, this is the situation. We are under attack. And what is the nature of that attack? It's one thing if someone attacks you with a weapon physically. It's another thing if someone attacks you verbally with very aggressive, abusive words. So what is the nature of this attack if we look at it in those terms? And the nature of that attack, Prabhupada went on to explain, is that Mahamaya, is trying to impose on us, and in different ways trying to infiltrate us with the enjoying spirit. The enjoying spirit. That idea that here is this world full of all sorts of nice things, and here is me. And, well, this world is here for me to enjoy. So this is the attack of Maya, of Mahamaya, that in different ways, and not just in some sort of, you know, very gross and overwhelming way, although it may be sometimes, but often it's in a very subtle way, like spies and undercover agents and people like that. They try to kind of sneak in and infiltrate in and kind of merge with the existing reality as if they're part of, you know, the nice situation of the usual situation. But actually they're infiltrating in order to destroy ultimately, to actually destroy, although the way they're attacking, subtle attack, the way they're attacking doesn't look like that. And people may think that they're fine, those people who are infiltrating, just like in Krishna's pastimes. It was Vatsasura, tried to infiltrate into the calves by assuming the form of a calf and feeling that if he took the form of a calf, then he could just merge into all the calves. No one would recognize him. And then he'd be able to, at some opportune moment, just jump on Krishna and just smash Krishna and kill Krishna. At least that was his idea. Vatsasura. Of course, Krishna understood. And so Krishna killed Vatsasura. But that was Vatsasura's idea, to sneak in undetected. Although, and apparently just as part of the group, very nice group. But actually the idea is to destroy. So like this, even with the devotees, with the non-devotees, of course they're completely caught up in that. And they're thinking that the sort of the enemy, in the sense of these different desires to enjoy material life, that actually they're friends, they're good, they should be celebrated, they're very nice. But the devotees understand, or should understand, that these types of ideas that may come, that I can, even though I'm a devotee, still I could do this or that, somehow or other, enjoy in a material way within this material world. Yes. And therefore sometimes devotees may find, at least internally, and even sometimes it manifests externally, that they're living sort of a dual existence. That they're chanting and they're practicing Krishna consciousness and doing service, but somewhere in the back of their minds there's some other thing going on from time to time, at least in terms of some sort of contemplation or being attracted. And yeah, and sometimes it even may manifest outwardly, doing some service, but also doing some material activity. So this is Mahamaya. Mahamaya, the great illusion. And sort of, if nothing else, well, not really if nothing else, but certainly it's very important not to underestimate Maya. Don't underestimate Maya. Don't overestimate yourself and your own sort of spiritual strength or whatever, spiritual resolve. Don't overestimate. If you underestimate Maya, overestimate your own spirituality, you have the recipe for a potential disaster. So that's Mahamaya. But then there is Yogamaya. Then there's Yogamaya. And again, it's Maya. It's illusion. It's not really true. But in this case, it's Yogamaya, means it connects us with Krishna. So that, of course, is there in Vrindavan, that generally, in the great number of cases, the devotees, they don't see Krishna as God. They see Krishna as one of the village boys, the most special of all the village boys, and just completely in a class of his own amongst all the village boys. But still, he's one of the village boys. And therefore, they love him because he's so special. And the relationships they have with him are just so unique and amazing that they love him unlimitedly. And they are not aware, generally they're not aware that Krishna is God. Sometimes some awareness may be there. But on the whole, certainly they're not vividly aware, like in Vaikuntha, that this is God. This is God. And we had better bow down and stay down. I remember actually when Srila Prabhupada first came here to Bhaktivedanta Manor, the helicopter landed out there, and Prabhupada came in and around, and I think through that way. And there were, you know, whole lines of devotees coming around and in. And I, being one of the new boys, I was at the end of the line, just outside this little door here at the bottom of the stairs. And Prabhupada came around and stopped right in front of us. And we, of course, we were down, and Prabhupada stopped. And Prabhupada stopped for maybe a minute or something like that. And we were down and we didn't know what to do. Should we just get up and say, Hare Krishna, and carry on with life? Or should we stay down? We took the conservative approach. We stayed down for a minute or so. Yes. So, yes, in Vaikuntha, it's very much like that. It's very vivid. It's very dramatic that He, the Lord, He is God. And who are we? We are just His little, little servants. But in Vrindavan, it's very different. It's very different. That Krishna is manifesting His sweetness and all these more intimate personal aspects of His nature, and everyone seeing Him like that. Shri Radha Gokulananda, Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman, Shri Gornatai Ki Jai. And then, therefore, some of them, they even chastise Krishna. They even chastise Krishna. There's a description, the cowherd boys, they go out with Krishna, and they're out there all day. And herding, they're sometimes herding, but a lot of the time they're just playing. And sometimes they have team games. They divide into two teams. And one cowherd boy is the head of one team, another cowherd boy is the head of another team. And then they take turns to choose different team members. But no one chooses Krishna. Because Krishna, whenever there's some competition or wrestling match or running competition or something of those sorts, Krishna, because He loves His devotees so much, He always lets His devotees win. Yeah. And He never wins. All the others always win. And if, you know, if it's a running match and there's some number of them running, Krishna always comes last. And therefore, when they're choosing who's going to be on my side and your side, and nobody chooses Krishna. And in the end, there's only Krishna left. Everyone else has been chosen. And the leaders ask each other, you want Krishna? No, you can have him. Anyway, so this is Yoga Maya. If it was Vaikuntha, oh, and you had a chance to choose Krishna, everyone would just take that chance. But not in Goloka Vrindavan. It's very, very different because of the influence of Yoga Maya. And the nature, the sort of the idea behind Yoga Maya is to facilitate the endearment, you could say, to facilitate endearing Krishna to the devotees to Krishna. In these different moods of love, without consideration of Krishna's power and grandness and so on. So, and even sometimes, by Krishna's arrangement, because it's his will, Yoga Maya influences Krishna. Not that Yoga Maya has now become superior and is sort of manipulating and controlling Krishna, but by Krishna's arrangement, he allows this to happen, and he actually enters into that state himself. At the end of this pastime, this happens, in that Lord Brahma, in the following chapter, Lord Brahma comes to his senses and he understands that I have made a most terrible mistake, a shocking mistake. And so he offers his prayers and very humbly appeals for mercy and forgiveness and so on. But Krishna, at that point, at that particular point, Krishna came under the influence of Yoga Maya. Krishna standing there with, in his left hand, still some yogurt, rice, and fruit, and left hand also. Krishna became a little puzzled, being under the influence of Yoga Maya, and Krishna started thinking, who is this four-headed man? And who is he offering prayers to? It couldn't be me, because who am I? I'm just a cowherd boy. But he seems very disturbed, so I don't want to just walk away and leave him. So I'll remain until he finishes. But I hope he finishes quickly, because I have important things to do. I have to take the calves back to the cowherd boys, because I'm a cowherd boy. Another instance, similar type of situation, is there in the Damodar Leela, where Lord Krishna, Mother Yashoda leaves Krishna, Krishna breaks the pot of yogurt and butter and buttermilk, and breaks some other pots. And then, before Mother Yashoda returns, Krishna, feeling very disturbed and distressed because of having just been abandoned by his mother, Krishna sulks and he goes to some quiet place and just cries. Some quiet place, no one's around. And he cries. And Srila Jiva Goswami, he discusses the question. Some people say, some people think that Krishna in Vrindavan, when he is having these different interactions and all his relationships with the Brijbasi devotees, some people think that Krishna is simply acting as an actor in a drama, may very convincingly appear to be some totally different person to who he really is. So some people suggest that maybe Krishna in Vrindavan is acting, that this lady, Mother Yashoda, she is very nice, and she loves me in a certain way, as if I'm her son. But I'm not her son. Of course I'm not her son. I'm God. How could I be her son? It's ridiculous. But she's so nice, and she's so devoted and so sincere, I will act like I'm her son, just to kind of satisfy her. Although I'm not her son, and I know very well I'm not her son. So Srila Jiva Goswami discusses this idea, and he points to that particular incident in the course of the Damodar Leela, that Krishna, before Mother Yashoda returned and saw the mess, Krishna went and sulked and cried, and there was no one around. And Srila Jiva Goswami makes the point that this proves Krishna is not acting, because he actually felt disturbed, he actually cried, and there was no one to see him. If he was an actor, he's not going to just continue acting if there's no one around to act for, when they switch off the cameras, you know, and in Hollywood, then the actors just go back to their lives. They don't carry on with James Bond or whatever it is. No, but Krishna, he was distressed when she was present. When she was not present, he was distressed. It means he was really distressed. This is yoga maya. And even Krishna, sometimes, not always, but sometimes, is under the influence of yoga maya. And this enhances, this endears Krishna so much, and it enhances the love and the loving exchanges practically unlimitedly. And therefore, those relationships with Krishna in Vrindavan, where yoga maya is doing so much to enhance everything, the love which is there in the relationships is just vastly different and vastly greater than the love which is there in Vaikuntha. Even though the love which is there in Vaikuntha is actually, with respect, vastly greater than the love that we have in Lechmohith or Bhaktivedanta Manor, with respect. You're all great souls. We appreciate you very much. But it's actually the case. It's another dimension. It's just another dimension of pure devotional service. But Goloka Vrindavan, oh, it is something else again. Something else again. We were actually talking about this last night, and we made the point that Gopa Kumar and Brihad Bhagavatamrita, at the end, or more or less at the end, when he's gone back to Goloka Vrindavan, met Krishna, and he's back, he's gone back to Godhead. He is given the service. His service is that he goes up and down from Goloka to Earth, passing by Vaikuntha and all the other planetary systems to Earth, and then he preaches, and then he goes back to Goloka. And when he's going up or down from or to Goloka, he sees what is going on the other planets. And he sees what's going on Vaikuntha, the Vaikuntha planets. And Gopa Kumar says, when I see the devotees in Vaikuntha, and I remember the devotees in Goloka, it seems to me that the devotees in Vaikuntha are very miserable. Yeah. They're really not happy. They're distressed. Now, they are not distressed by our standards. Oh, they are really in great ecstasy. But that's how it seems compared to Goloka Vrindavan. So it's all enhanced by yoga maya. That's the idea. Anyway, for ourselves, we should definitely not prematurely think that we should somehow or other try to conduct ourselves as if we're under yoga maya. We're definitely not under the control of yoga maya. We have to cultivate Krishna consciousness, sadhana, bhakti, very carefully, step by step, maintaining the standards of Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, we'll remain sort of entangled on the material platform. Yeah. We have to be very respectful towards the Lord, not become familiar with the Lord as the devotees in Goloka. It seems they are. Sometimes they chastise Krishna and so on. But we have to really cultivate Krishna consciousness in a very serious, dedicated, and respectful mood to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Otherwise, we'll become contaminated and fall down. Hare Krishna.